Morning, I'm very moved because it's my family. In the Philippines, when someone gets up to share, they always cry because they're always moved by the Holy Spirit. And I'm Filipino now. And I also noticed that when the women came back from the Philippines, they all cried when they shared. Did you notice? They all got up and they all cried because it's part of your soft heart when the Holy Spirit's in your heart. Oh, did you enjoy that? Oh, it's awesome, that video, right? Some of you will have no idea what's going on there. And some of you will know a few things, and some of you will know a lot. But it's so awesome, that video, because it gives you like a... It's only from January this year, 2014. And we have to do a new one every year because we've got so much stuff that we've done. But that's just from January to August. And so it's just full of things that we've been doing this year. All the people that have got saved and speaking at Bible colleges and children's ministries and the women doing the Band of Sisters conference. And so that will be put on YouTube so you can watch it again because I know it's quite fast. It's like aimed at the younger generation because they'll only watch for so long. So I have a little word for the church before Andrew preaches. And the phrase that I've got is the applause of heaven. And when I was in the airport coming back to England, I was in this bookshop and I saw this book and it was called The Applause of Heaven. And I thought, whoa, what an awesome title. So I bought the book and it was by Max Lucado. And the book is about Stuart's favourite part of the Bible, I think anyway, the Beatitudes. Am I right? Close, yeah, right? The Beatitudes. And it's a really good book, but the title is better than the book. Because the title is phenomenal, The Applause of Heaven. And I bought it because something inside of me said, yeah, the applause of heaven. And I want to ask you today, are you living for the applause of heaven? I've got a scripture to read for the church from Luke 6, 43 to 45. It says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. And I got that scripture of God for the church, and it's about the fruit that you're producing in your life. And I felt God want to ask you, what does the fruit look like that you're producing in your life? He wants you to take some time and think about what the fruit looks like that you're producing. And it all comes from your heart. It all comes from where your heart is, that scripture says. From what's in your heart will determine what fruit you have. Like with a tree or a bush. What the DNA of the tree or the bush is will determine what fruit comes off the bush. Yeah? And so the title, The Applause of Heaven. Did you see my t-shirt there? It said, you only live once. Did you see it? And it's a very Western phrase, isn't it? And I'm sure when some of you see it, you think, oh, that's not true. But it is. It is true. You only live once. You only have one life for Jesus, one life. And the fruit you produce here will depend on the applause you have there. It's true. So I'm telling you, that t-shirt, it's such a powerful statement. How you live here determines what you will get there. The applause of heaven. I'm living for the applause of heaven. And Stuart, is it really powerful? He said about giving you money. But what Jesus wants is your whole life, your whole heart, not just your money, not just part of your life, not just your Sunday mornings or your Thursday nights or whatever. He wants your whole life. And because when you give him your whole life, he gives you it all back. Like what Stuart said, he gives you it all back. And it's such an honor to give your life to God, to work for him. Because I cannot tell you how blessed I am. We've seen 600 people get saved over the last 4 years. And for Jesus. And someone said to me this year, oh, you live in the Philippines. You must enjoy living there, do you? And I laughed and I said, not really. And they were quite taken aback. Oh. And I said, no, I don't enjoy living there. I would never choose to live in the Philippines if it was my choice. I live there because God has called me to live there. And I work for him there and live for him there. It's a very hard life. You're blessed in this country with the beautiful food and the ease of life. It's so stressful in the Philippines just to get from the house to the car. Then women will tell you, you're dripping buckets. Did you see the house at the beginning? That's our house in that field we have to walk through. Sometimes it's corn, sometimes it's rice. And you have to walk through the fields to get to the car, and it's stressful. The lifestyle is stressful. They're calling it a developing country, but it's really a third world nation, really. It's hard work to live there. And we just went to Paris the other week with Mum and Dad. And in their car, they're listening to Narnia. And I'm sure so many of the leaders here quote Narnia to you. So if you haven't read the books, you need to read them. And in this book, I only heard a little bit on the in the car, but it's the silver chair. And these two young people, Eustace and Jill, are on this mission from Aslan, who's basically God, to save this prince. And when they're on this mission, they're like, the road is hard. They're sleeping outside. They're cooking little birds that they can find. And it's rough. And their life is rough. And someone comes along, this lady comes along and tells them, go to this amazing castle of the giants and you can enjoy their winter feast. And they have warm beds and hot baths and lovely warm dinners. And they think, yes, let's do it. And they get distracted. And all they can think about is these hot baths and warm dinners and a lovely winter feast with these giants. And it's actually a trap. And so all their mind is focused on this, and they get there. And they start to think, oh, this is amazing, enjoying these hot baths and warm feasts. But it turns out the giants are actually going to eat them. It's a trap. And that is just a total picture of this world. The road as a Christian is hard. If you want to give your life to live for God, it's going to be hard. And you're going to suffer. And you're going to have to cook your little thin birds over fires to eat. It's not going to be pleasant. It's going to be rough to get where God's called you to be. And Satan wants to distract you by putting very nice-looking things in your path. You know, in the West, it's technology or all the modern things and things that can distract you from God. And our eyes get taken off the hard road where we'll get our applause in heaven. And you start looking at these warm baths and hot beds and lovely, delicious meals. And you get distracted. But then these giants are going to eat you. So I just want to challenge you today. What fruit are you producing? What fruit are you producing so that you can have an applause when you get to heaven? Because God is waiting there to see the life that you live here will depend on how you live in eternity. So I want to encourage you today to look at the fruit you're producing. And if you haven't got any fruit, start producing good fruit. Bless you. I'm going to pass to Andrew now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Isn't she awesome and beautiful? Amen. I think so anyway. It's really good to be back here in England. You'll have to excuse our English. We've been speaking broken English in different language for the last 18 months. And so sometimes our words get mixed. So I apologize for it now, but I'm hoping the Holy Spirit will translate for you today. Is that all right? Wasn't that awesome? We need to change our focus, don't we? We were actually culture shocked. Martin and Margaret came and picked us up from the airport. We're traveling down the road and I'm saying, the cows, look at the cows, they're so fat. The sheep, Melody, look. I've got three daughters and a boy on the way. Yay. And I was telling the girls, look, the sheep, they're so fat. No, yeah, yeah. And the people, they're lovely. And everyone, please grab your Bibles. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. You know what Ruth was saying reminded me of an artist. Thomas Mast is a famous artist. And He put an exhibition up of all his artwork and paintwork, and people went to view this exhibition. And he thought, while the people are there, what I'll do is I'll do a live painting. So loads of people sat down and enjoyed him painting. He got this canvas that was 6 foot by 2 foot and started painting this beautiful scenery. He started with the gorgeous property, and then he put a nice house on it, and he put a beautiful barn and a garage and started filling the house with things and the barn with things. It was beautiful. And he got his paintbrush and he stepped back as if he'd finished, but he hadn't put his paintbrush down, and everyone was applauding him. That's awesome, beautiful paintwork. But he hadn't finished. He got his brush and he got some green and black and blue and he started destroying that paintwork, that beautiful picture that he'd just done. He started destroying it, streaks of white and black. And then he put his paintbrush down. Nobody clapped. And he said to the people with him, he said, right, put it in a frame and now stand it vertically. And when they put it vertically, it was a beautiful picture of a waterfall. And everyone stood up. Yeah, it was awesome. Here's the thing. We get focused on our property, the things that we put in our house, our barns, and fill them up. When really, that needs destroying in our thoughts, in our culture. Needs destroying so that we can view the beauty of God. Do you know that you get more beautiful when you get filled with God? Do you want to be more beautiful? I do. Every time I look in the mirror, I feel like I'm getting older and uglier. I got my haircut yesterday and there's not much left. It's getting thinner. But you know what? The more closer you get to God, the more beautiful you become. Your focus changes. Who wants to be more beautiful? Let's read the word of God. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning from your word. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. It says here, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Route 61, there's another plug there. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. You know, I've got 3 points from this scripture for you this morning. The first one is that he's alive and powerful. We live in a supernatural lifestyle. We're not living in the natural anymore. God speaks to you daily. He's trying to speak to you right now. We need to be in the supernatural to hear. I have a problem. I always lose my keys. Is anyone like that? I lose them all the time. And God speaks to me more about where my keys are than anything else. He does. We're in the Philippines and we have a little safe, no money in it. But I'd open this safe and put the money in. And I knew I left my red little key on the table. And when I went to get the money out, the key was missing. This happens when you've got 3 daughters. But the key was missing and I knew the key was there. Half an hour I spent searching. We couldn't go out because the money was in the safe. I said, Ruth, we can't go. I need the key. So we're searching for this key everywhere. And eventually, you humble yourself and think, I better pray and ask God. So I asked God and he gave me one word. God's so awesome at speaking to us, isn't he? I'm not very eloquent, so I need just one word of God. And he knows exactly what word to say to me so I know where the key is. He says this word to me, sediment. It's a strange word, isn't it? Ruth didn't even know what it meant. But I said, Ruth, I know where the key is. God's told me. We have ducks and chickens. I'll explain a bit about them later. And I went outside and there's a duck bath that I give them water. They swim in it and drink in it. And every day I clean it out. And I knew from that one word that the key was in that bath. So I poured the water out and the sediment in the bottom, which is the dirt, the small particles of dirt, came out and there it was, the red key. Is that awesome? This is happening all the time for us. Supernatural living, where you hear God and you walk in it. You know, we were listening to this beautiful CD of a band called Rivers and Robots. And we were crying, Ruth and I were listening to it. This was about Christmas time. Was it a bit before? Maybe November, Christmas time. And we had faith there and then that this band is coming to the Philippines. And it's going to come and visit us and play for us. So from that day on, Ruth prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Do you know that if you need something, if you have this desire, if God puts something in your heart, don't just wish it to come to pass. You have to pray. And every day Ruth was praying and praying and praying that this band, just because they were anointed, that they would come and visit us. What are the chances? Well, in supernatural living, let me tell you this story. This is what happened. I emailed them and said, "We love your music. If there's any chance that you could come and visit us, we would love it." No reply. And then, later on, we heard that this band was visiting the Philippines. We're still praying at this point. "Please come and visit us. God, will you send them to come and play and worship and teach worship in our area?" The band were coming to the Philippines, and we didn't even know that, or they didn't reply to us. We didn't know where, what part. But while they were in the Philippines, they were supposed to be going to the south of the Philippines, Mindanao, which is quite a rough area. And God spoke to them in a dream and said, "Don't go," warning them. And that same night, the band leader, Jonathan his name is, his family, three people in his family, had a dream warning them about going to the south of the Philippines because it's Muslim and dangerous. And so from that, he asked God, "What shall we do?" And he remembered the email we'd sent. They came to visit us. They spent a week with us. And they worshipped at one of our fun day Sundays. Three of our young people now, which your church is supporting through Bible school, he came to the first day at Bible school, this band, and they played there on the first day. This is supernatural living, everybody, where you pray something to happen. Pray it in. Let's pray for a bigger building. Let's pray for the miracles. It's supernatural living. God's word is alive and powerful. 600 people we've seen saved through the Fun Day Sundays. Martin preached at one of them last year and there was 75 people got saved. Woohoo! Is that awesome? Because God's word is alive and powerful. Amen? We love shouting in the Philippines. Amen? Hallelujah. So anyway, supernatural living. I went to preach at a church on the east coast or near the east coast of the Philippines. And as a thank you for preaching in their church in the Philippines, guess what they gave me? 2 ducks. So I had to travel home with these stinky ducks in the back of our car for hours and hours and hours, stopping to feed them and water them and clean them out. You keep laughing, Andy. But you know what's amazing? You feed them, and I left them, and in 1 year, we've given away over 60 ducks. They're producing faster than they should. They're reproducing. Our neighbor saw how fast my ducks were reproducing. He went and bought ducks. 3 months later, he comes to me, and he says, "My ducks are eating their eggs. They're not producing anything. What's wrong with your ducks?" I said, "God's blessing them." He ended up eating all his ducks. My daughters are beautiful, and our neighbors thought so. So they gave them a male chicken and a female chicken as a present. You know, in the 1 year, we've given away over 50 chickens. Supernatural living. You know, God blesses what your hands touch. So start touching by faith now. The things that you need in your life. We need to have a supernatural life. God is supernatural. We need that power that he has for us. The second thing it says here, he's sharper than a two-edged sword, splitting, cutting between soul and spirit and bone and marrow, joint and marrow. You know, they are very closely related and very close are your soul and your spirit. Bone and marrow. But yet God can split, because there's a difference. Our soul is very much for ourself. Through our soul, we think about ourselves. We want to sort ourselves out, look after ourselves. But through our spirit, we want communion with God. There's a great divide. There's a difference. And the word of God shows us what that difference is. When you are confused, is this God speaking? The word will help us. Just imagine it's like this. Your body and your soul is like a tuck shop. But your spirit is like Tesco's. And you spend all your time and energy trying to keep your tuck shop afloat and keep stuff in there, keep it stocked up, make sure there's someone working there. The problem is in our lives, our tuck shop is taking so much of our energy and effort that our Tesco's is going bankrupt. Are you getting this? That's why we need to know the difference. We need God to show us his word to be that difference in our lives. You know, I had an operation because I'd had a motorbike accident. I broke my collarbone. They had to put a plate in it to fix it and put it together. Now, when I was just about to go under the anesthetic, you know, they're counting. They say, count to 10, and by the time you get to 3, you're probably knocked out anyway. If anyone's had an operation, you'll know what I mean. Now, they were marking on my body where they were going to operate. And they marked here on my collarbone. And just as I was going to sleep, they started marking my hip. And I thought, I went to sleep thinking, flipping out, they're going to operate on my hip. Because they started marking my hip. They didn't inform me or tell me that they were going to graft bone from my hip to put it in my collarbone. So I woke up after the operation thinking I would just have my arm in a sling and I'd be able to walk around fine. But they took bone from my hip to help this heal. You know, they took that out because your bone is producing life all the time. It's the marrow inside. That's where our blood cells are produced. That's why when you give blood, after 2 weeks, it's reproduced itself. It's back in your body. Haven't we got an awesome God? Your body is doing what God wants it to do right now while you sat there. You're producing blood. You're producing life. There's a difference between joint and marrow because in marrow, it produces life. Are you producing life? Ruth was talking about the fruit. The fruit is life, isn't it, for us? We need to be full of life. God is the one that breathes life over us. The other thing is, when I woke up from my operation, it wasn't here that was hurting. It was my hip. That hurt more than my collarbone. You know, when God starts working in your life and starts splitting between soul and spirit, it's painful. There is suffering. There is pain. And in our lives, we get pain. We've had suffering in our area recently. Our whole area just got flooded. We had rain and rain, torrential rain through the rainy season. And there's two local dams close to where we live, and we live near the beach. And both dams, they didn't speak to one another. They just opened the floodgates together, and our whole area got flooded. Many people suffered. We receive suffering in our lives. But God is in it. You have to see that God is in it. Because our area got flooded, we've got a boy that we've kind of adopted into our family. He's called Janelle. You saw him on the movie. He was hugging Melody on one of the pictures. Oh, he's not on there. But he lives with us and he's looking after our house right now. And Janelle's school, where he goes to, got flooded over 2 meters, over 6 foot in water. They lost everything. So they had to start from scratch. All computers were destroyed. All books were destroyed. Everything destroyed. And God's opened up the opportunity for us to go into that school. We took in the Logos Hope, a group from the Logos Hope, the big ship, to clean up and tidy up the whole school. We helped move 5 truckloads of rubbish. The ship donated, I think, 5 computers and loads of books and literature and things like that. It was a big blessing on their school. And in return, the school said to me, "You're welcome to come into our school and do anything you want. We've been trying to get into this school. Do you know how many we will reach if we're able to go in that school? Do you know how many people are in Janelle's school? 2,000. 2,000 people, you have to pray for us. It's just me and Ruth. 1,000 each, Ruth. We're on our own. You can see here, we're actually raising up a team. We have Arvin on the left, Russell, then me, Ruth, Mary Joy, and Ruby. Ruby and the two boys here are at Bible school at the moment. And I'm going to share their testimonies shortly that are powerful, part of the supernatural. First, I just want to show an illustration. Can I have this rope, please? Matthias, will you come and help me? Come and help me. Stand here at the front. And Andy, will you help us? Let's stretch this rope out. I'm going to tie up anyone who doesn't support us at the end of this preach. Matthias, you hold this rope up for us. This rope represents eternity. I'm copying this illustration of Francis Chan, but it's an awesome illustration. It helps us remember. This is eternity for us. And right over here at this end, thank you, Andy. You keep holding that. Right over here, can you see there's a little tape here? Anyone with good eyesight, you'll see there's a bit of tape here. And one of these lines is our life. Represents our life and what we're doing here on earth. Now, can you see, you had to link with what Ruth was saying. We focus in our lives on so much in this one strip to get what we need without realizing there's the rest of eternity. We're putting all our effort into making sure we've got this, making sure our children are fine, making sure we're healthy, making sure all our focus is in one, this one tiny little line. And yet, no one's thinking about the rest of eternity. Have you got this? It's changing our perspective, our focus on our lives. Thank you, Andy and Matthias. You can sit down now. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you, Lord. We have to change our focus and realize what our purpose is. You know, when you're living in the calling that God has for your life, that's why you'll notice there's a difference between soul and spirit. You'll realize when God is, like on Route 61, when God is cutting things off you, he's splitting it so that it's just life. There's a lot of pruning that happens. There's a clear divide. The third point here in this verse is in verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He exposes us for who we are. Sinners. We don't make the mark. We don't reach where we need to. We get caught out because God sees everything. When our whole area was getting flooded, I walked outside to make sure all my chickens and ducks are fine. And there's one area around the back of the house that a chicken had run round to get to higher ground because the water was coming up. And I didn't know this chicken had gone round the back of the house and the water had come up. I was walking around to make sure everything was okay. And in the water, I saw this head. What's the head doing there? It's a chicken's head. I thought, that's one of my chickens. The water had come up and it had been caught out. And it was up to here, just stood in the water. Probably praying, I hope this water doesn't come up anymore. It was up to here with his head up. I thought, that's one of my chickens, poor thing. Got it out of the water. But your thing is, we get caught out. We're exposed for who we are. Your fruit will show who you are. Let's look. Reminded with Ruth's scripture that she read. You know, that you will be known by your fruit. An apple tree doesn't produce a pear fruit. We have loads of different types of fruit in the Philippines. There's one called dragon fruit. And it's got loads of different colors on it and spikes. And to look at it, you think, oh, I wouldn't eat that. It looks scary. Talking about scary, I'm reminded about one guy here in England, and he had a boa constrictor. Yeah, thank you for the English lesson. And Matthias has a snake, and he looked after it from being very small. And it's getting bigger now, isn't it, Matthias? And there's this one guy in England, he looked after this boa constrictor, and he'd grown it from being very small. And then, all of a sudden, it stopped eating. And it managed to get out its cage, and he woke up in the morning, this guy, and the snake was laid next to him in bed. He didn't mind, because he'd looked after it from being very young. But he thought, put it back in its cage. The next day, didn't eat, went back in his bed. The next morning, he wakes up, the snake's laid next to him. He thought, maybe it's cold. Wants to get cozy. It happened for 3 days, this, so he thought, I better take it to the vet. So he took the snake to the vet, and he explained what was happening, and the vet said this, get rid of it. It's not eating because it's starving itself and sizing itself up to eat you. God exposes things in our lives. Number one, sin. Let me tell you, if you feed sin, it's only small, it's all right. It's just a little thing in my life. One day it's going to grow. You won't notice and it'll eat you. Sin is such a terrible thing. But if you play with it, look after it, feed it, one day it will eat you. Scary, isn't it? We have to be aware of what our heart is and what it isn't. Ruth, when she was about 12 years old in church, she heard George Verwer come and preach about missions and being a missionary. She's always wanted to be a missionary, is Ruth. And when the offering time came, her heart wanted to give her whole self to it. She had no money, but she said, I can give something. And she had her little ring on her finger. So she got her ring off, which is worth about £15 or something like that, and put it in the offering as a sign to God saying, I want to give everything to be on the mission field or to give to missions for you, God. And we don't have a ceiling yet in our church in the Philippines. And Ruth has some fancy rings. You'll notice she's got some beautiful rings. Don't think that we're wealthy. Some of them, I would go to the jewelers and give £5 a week from my wages when we still lived in England. And then at the end of the year, I'd say, Ruth, come and pick a ring. And so some of the rings she's got are really actually worth quite a lot of money. And she had one ring that broke in the Philippines. And she was thinking about this ring that it's just vanity. If I get this ring fixed, it's just vanity for people to see. And it gives a wrong what's the English word? Impression. Thank you. Does anyone else want to come and preach? It gives the wrong impression that I'm wealthy or things like this. So she decided, I'm going to give my ring in the offering to pay for the ceiling to be done in the church. And so she did that and she told the pastor, I want this to go towards the ceiling to be fixed. And then we left and went to Manila to sort out some paperwork for our visa. But when we came back, it was about midnight, and Pastor Raul, our pastor that we're helping there in the Philippines, comes out the house, and he said, Ruth, I've got something for you. And he goes inside, and he gets the ring. He said, God spoke to me, and he said, do not use that ring on the ceiling. Fix it and give it back to Ruth. So Pastor Raul had it fixed, the crack in it, and gave it back to Ruth. This is beautiful, isn't it? You know why? Because now she wears it proudly, knowing this is God's eternity ring. God is saying to Ruth at that point, I know your heart. You don't need to give your ring again. I know your heart. People, God knows your heart. You might feel that you're broken. You might feel, I'm not any good here. So I'll get used for something else instead. But God has the right purpose for you, for your lives. When I was about 14, 15 years old, as extra money, I used to go and do grass cutting. And I used to cut people's hedges and in the summer and cut grass and things like that. And I went to this one house and the guy said, I want you to trim the trees I want you to get the suckers off them. I said, what's the suckers? He said, you know the little, you know, on the bark of a tree, on the trunk of it, thank you, there's these little things that grow out that eventually become branches, but he called them little suckers. Because while a tree has these little suckers growing on them, it can't produce fruit. It's spending all its energy and effort trying to grow this sucker instead of producing fruit. And you know, God is wanting to take off and prune them suckers off us so that we can produce fruit. The Holy Spirit is already showing you now in this meeting what they are, what needs to be cut off, what needs to be pruned so that you can produce fruit. Let's read one more scripture before I finish. And it's John 15, verse 4. It says this, remain in me. This is talking about Jesus saying about the grapevine. And actually, we'll read from verse 1. I'm the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Verse 4 says this, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You've heard this morning many times about receiving Jesus. Stuart was saying about his testimony, becoming a Christian. If you're not a Christian yet, that means to become a Christian, all you have to do is change from who you are now and into Christ. Remain in me, Jesus is saying, come into my tree, be part of my tree, be one of my branches. It's a very simple salvation. It's where you just join onto Jesus and die to self. Like I said, your soul and your body are always wanting to sort yourself out, but your spirit wants to communicate with God. Let me tell you the testimonies of these. This is our team that we're working with in the Philippines. And last time I was here, I was telling you about us going to Tacloban and helping in the flooded area and the damaged area that got devastated. I took Russell with me, the second boy, and I shared his testimony with you about him being a leader of a gang. And he came into church supernaturally through prayer, and he brought his gang with him. Every one of them have been through the Alpha course, have been baptized, are saved. But Arvin, I'll tell his story. Arvin here on the left, he joined our church about 2 years ago. And he got invited to a youth camp that we were holding. And he was terrible, the most foul-mouthed young lad I've ever heard in the Philippines. And he was always into fights. And I had to warn him about his mouth. But at this youth camp, he got saved. And he's been since then my Timothy, always with me, helping me out. In wherever I'm going, he's coming with me. He likes to look after my ducks and chickens as well. But he wanted to go to Bible school. And Ruth and I, we share at this Bible school. We were teaching, just before we came back to England, we were teaching at this Bible school on leadership. We were there for a week. And while we were there, I heard their testimonies. And Arvin's was this. He was brought up. When he was born, his mother didn't want him. So his mother gave him to her sister. So he's with his auntie, but adopted by his auntie. So now he calls her mother. His real dad got killed. His auntie, who he's living with now and calls mother, his father there went to work abroad when he was 2. And he's never seen him since. He's still working abroad. He never goes back to the Philippines. So he has 2 dads and hasn't seen any of them. And this brought, he was full of issues because he had no dad. And it brought him up being violent by the age of 14, already on marijuana. Because so easy to grow in the Philippines. And he was drinking. And any time he would get into fights, this is what he said in his testimony. I used to pick up a rock, and it didn't matter if the person was older than me. I'd want to fight them. And with this rock, he would hit them. Many times, he said, he broke people's faces, broke people's noses, and he said he never felt guilt. He only felt this. When he would hit the person, he would say, that's how it feels like to not have a dad. And then that's what he would think. That's his testimony. And yet now, some of you ladies have met him. Arvin is the softest person you've ever met. If I asked him, we're hoping to raise support while we're here in England, so please help us to bring this team next year so you can hear for yourselves, so you know I'm not making this stuff up. But if he gets up on this platform, he'll just come up here and he'll just start crying. So soft. He calls God his daddy. It's amazing the transformation in people's lives when you realize that God is your daddy. Ruby, the girl on the end with the black and white hat on, her brother is Russell. Russell came to church because we were praying for Ruby, and Ruth had her in one of the band of sisters and saw a vision over Ruby in her house and said, God's going to break this darkness over your house, Ruby. This was on a Saturday night. And on the Sunday, that's when Russell came and brought his gang. Ruby has been in the church since before it was a building. We used to meet under a mango tree. We had the chairs out because it's sunny most days, most Sundays. So we had the chairs out under the mango tree, a few people playing the guitars and preaching and sharing with the kids. Ruby was about 14, 13 or younger. And so she's been in the church from the beginning, all her family are non-Christians except Russell now. Now Ruby, God told Ruth last November that Ruby was going to go to Bible school this year with the two boys, but we didn't tell her. Again, what do you do? Pray, 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 pray. Many times people use this as an excuse to speak. God has spoken to me. Oh, Ruby, come here. God has spoken to me. You're going to Bible school. But actually, it's not the right way. If God speaks to you, there's a timing for it. And sometimes you'll never need to share it. You just know that God is speaking to you. Sometimes things are in the atmosphere of what God is saying, the Holy Spirit is showing. And you'll know it for your own spirit's sake. So Ruth was praying and praying and praying. Ruby was hoping to go to college this year. And she's quite a bright girl. She did her entrance exam and she failed. Ruth was happy because she knew that Ruby was going to be going to Bible school. It got closer and closer to the day when the two boys were going to go to Bible school. And in the Philippines, non-Christians send their children away to work because it's so poor, our area. It's all fishermen and farmers, full of poverty. And Ruby's mum was going to send her to Manila to work. You can imagine what doing. It's not very good. And these people just come to your village or your area, your town, and pick up people who are willing to have a job. Pick up people and take them to Manila. Sometimes they never come back. And Ruby was going to go to Manila to work because she didn't get into her college. And Russell's mum, who is Ruby's mum, comes to our house and says, I know that you're helping Russell to go to Bible school this year. Could you please invite my daughter Ruby to go as well? Bear in mind, this woman is not a Christian. So a non-Christian lady is asking us to send her daughter to Bible school. This is supernatural. This is God working. So Ruth and I, of course, we already knew since November, yeah? We would love your daughter to go to Bible school, but we'll ask her. So send her here tomorrow. We'll ask her if she wants to go and she can go away and pray about it. The next day Ruby comes, we tell her. And she says, I'll go away and pray about it. And says, obviously, yes, she's at Bible school now. But here's the thing. The day that we ask her to come to our house to speak with her about Bible school was the day the people came from Manila to take her away. She wasn't at the house because she was at our house. Do you see how God's timing is perfect? If we said in November, Ruby, God's told us you're going to Bible school, she probably scared herself and said, no thanks, I'm going to college. See, there's a timing that God has for us. Ruby was brought up in the church since about 12, 13 years old. She started worship leading. She's absolutely flowering at Bible school now. I keep mentioning them at Bible school because your church is supporting them. So I want to say a big thank you. You're already part of what God is doing in the Philippines. The story of that was, I took them up to Bible school, and this was the night I was going to drop them off. I was going to spend the night there and then travel the next day. I get to this Bible school and I say to them, look guys, I know that God has called you here to Bible school. They're there for 1 year to receive training. The next year they're able to pastor churches or start ministry. And I said, I know it's right that you come to Bible school. And we've said we'll support you. But the truth is this. We have no money. So this is what I want you to do. Your first thing that you're going to do here at Bible school is pray with me that God will provide for everything here at your Bible school. Your tuition, your allowance, everything that you need. So that night, they all went to bed praying. And I went to sleep, and then Ruth, she rang me, half asleep. Yeah. Got an email off a church in England that are giving this much for the Bible school, and the amount exactly pays for everything they need for the three of them. Isn't that awesome? So the next morning, I'm about to leave, and I gather them up. Guess what? God has answered your prayer. Before the first day begins at Bible school, everything is already paid. Isn't that awesome? I'm so excited. God's amazing.